What about the chemotherapy regimen that you utilize in this situation? There's been a lot of excitement about the SWOG regimen. Can you talk a little bit about that and some of the data at 5 years at ASCO?
I think the 7-year data for the SWOG data looks very encouraging. Etoposide platinum given in the 50-50 combination, where you get 50 milligrams per meter squared of platinum day 1, day 8, and you get 50 milligrams per meter squared of etoposide day 1 to 5. That way you're getting full doses of etoposide platinum with cycle 1 and cycle 2. When you give that with radiation, you have 12 days of overlap in that setting. So I think that's a very good way to give chemo radiotherapy. I think the data from SWOG, which showed a 7-year projected survival of approximately 26 or 27%, I think is far better than what you'll see in the CLGB trial where weekly carboplatin Taxol was used. So in my opinion, for any patient who's got a reasonable functional status, cisplatin etoposide with radiation followed by 3 cycles of docetaxel is a very, very good approach. I tend to still use weekly carboplatin with a taxane only in patients who are either impaired end organ function, marginal performance status, or people who I don't think can tolerate cisplatin. But I tend to be a very big believer in the SWOG trial until proven otherwise. Now, we will have some data coming out from a Hoosier Oncology Group study, which looks at etoposide and cisplatin with radiation followed by Taxotere, asking the question of whether the posterior Taxotere is important in that setting. I think that'll be a very important trial. And we do have some subsets from Karen Kelly's trial, which suggests that the arm of cisplatin etoposide followed by Taxotere appears to be holding up pretty well in S0023.
What about the issue of neutropenia with that regimen and the question about prophylactic growth factors, particularly with the docetaxel?
I often use prophylactic growth factors with docetaxel in that setting. I think that while some will probably criticize me for lack of cost effectiveness, and I certainly recognize that that is the only downside to this, I think if you give 75 of Taxotere and have them come back the next day for a dose of Neulasta, you eliminate the only side effect to this drug that's of great concern, which is the neutropenia. So I think that it is something which makes great sense. And in patients who've just had a lot of thoracic radiotherapy and who've just had etoposide and platinum and have somewhat pretreated marrows, I think the use of growth factors makes wonderful sense.
What have you observed in terms of the ability of patients to tolerate the outback docetaxel? I've heard some people say that after patients have gone through chemoradiation therapy, that's a very difficult 3 cycles to get in. I've heard others saying it's no big deal. What's been your experience?
I think the whole problem with this is not the docetaxel. It's getting them through the chemoradiotherapy. If you get them through the chemoradiotherapy, the docetaxel is fine. But I think it's not easy to get everybody through the chemoradiotherapy. So I think that's actually the bigger challenge with that regimen is getting them through the chemorads, through the esophagitis, through the shortness of breath, through the fatigue, through the tiredness, through the myelosuppression when you can't use growth factors. I mean, I'd love to give growth factors in that setting too, but you can't do it with concurrent use of thoracic radiotherapy.